64. Moot. Bill, March 2207, Epsilon Eridani. The air horn's blast brought the usual expressions of appreciation. I couldn't bring myself to grin at the antics, though. This was going to be a tough meeting. The looks on everyone's faces showed that they understood this. Okay, guys, let's summarize. The others have kicked Mario out of GL-54, and they're busily stripping the resources. They've launched another expedition heading for NN-4285. I've expressed concern that Gamma and Delta Pavonis are going to be next. And oh, look, there's a habitable planet in one system and a civilization in the other. I looked at the sea of faces. Everyone was totally focused on my words. Oliver in Alpha Centauri has come up with a latest and greatest battle wagon design. He's too far away to help Jacques and Claude, though, unless the others hold off a lot longer than I really expect. Jacques is prepared to send reinforcements for Claude, if it comes to that. Or the other way around, if necessary. I looked for the owner of that comment. It was Jacques. I raised my eyebrow at him in an invitation to continue. Delta's farther away from GL-877. So from that point of view, Gamma is a more likely target, except that Delta has way higher metallicity, as can be seen plainly in the spectral lines. Maybe the others will skip the closer system for the better system. They already bypassed Gamma once. I closed my eyes for a moment. An undercurrent of muttering passed through the room. It's a point, Jacques. We won't know until they move. We have full coverage around GL-877 now, so we can see any departures. I motioned to Garfield, who was standing to one side of the podium. Garfield will give us a rundown on weapons capability. Garfield stepped forward and gave an aborted wave to the crowd. He wasn't in the mood either. We have fission bombs, thanks to Medeiros. We have fusion bombs, or at least the plans, thanks to the USE and Colonel Butterworth. We've been able to size up the plasma spike somewhat, but there's a practical limit to the size of the magnetic containment. We've probably reached that. It's enough for the smaller others' vessels, but not enough to seriously harm the Death asteroids or cargo vessels. Garfield popped up a diagram. We've got the basic concepts of the cloaking figured out, but we weren't able to salvage enough hardware to see how the Brazilians were actually doing it. Which means we're starting from scratch. This appears to have been another one of those accidental discoveries, so it's not just a matter of hours thrown at the problem. We're going to need some breakthroughs. Someone at the front commented, "Without the cloaking, we can't get the bombs close enough to be effective. They'll just zap them or shoot them down. I think it's safe to assume the others have things like missiles as well." "We can get the items close enough," someone else responded, "if we transport them in the cargo hold of a battle wagon." There was silence as everyone looked at each other. We all knew what that meant. The battle wagon would be destroyed in the explosion as well. "We could put Amy's in some battle wagons and make them suicide bombers." I felt my eyebrows climb up my forehead. That was actually not completely idiotic. We'd have to think about how many dreadnoughts we'd staff with Amy's, though. "Or scut-based remotes." I looked around. "Okay, who is that? Those are some good ideas. Maybe you should be on the committee." Someone stepped forward. It was Elmer. "No, thanks. I'm just trying to spare my hide." He grinned around at the audience, and we finally got some laughter. "There's also relativistic ramming," another voice interjected. I shook my head. "We thought about that. It would have to be busters or something that could be directed, and even so, you'd have to launch weeks before the encounter, and you'd have to plan it to intercept the enemy at the right place and the right time. Chances of getting it right are too low. Plus, they'll see the approach from a light hour out with Sudar, and they just have to dodge. The busters would have a ridiculous tau and wouldn't be able to react quickly enough. If we forget about relativistic speeds and just stick to our normal ramming, they won't even feel it. Or they'll just zap ship busters a couple of dozen at a time with those big zappers." There was a short silence as everyone digested this. We knocked around the weapons issue for a while, but soon realized we were all rehashing the same information. I ended the meeting, and we broke into groups. Technically, this was the social part of the get-together, but we've always been a workaholic. Each small crowd turned into a single-issue discussion group. In one group, Jacques was doing an informal presentation on the PAV. I found Bob. Bob won, that is, in the audience. I stepped up beside him. He nodded an acknowledgement and turned back to the presentation. I wanted to say something to him about the Deltons, to commiserate or express sympathy, see how he was doing. Something. He was effectively banished from their society. He'd pretty much adopted the tribe as his family, and to be cast out like that couldn't be easy. But, you know, we are Bob, smart, driven, and socially inept. I focused my attention on the presentation. The path seemed, in many ways, to be very human. Okay, they were furry, they had group marriages and ran around on all fours, but other than that, the path tended to a sort of natural socialism. They had social institutions for the less fortunate, but those seemed to be supported by private funding. And well supported, too. PAV governments, even the types that on Earth would have been heavily interventionist, tended to be lean and hands-off. On the other hand, the PAV were, by human standards, about as organized as a basket of puppies. I wondered what effect introducing Robert's Rules of Order would have on them. Jacques finished his presentation, got a round of applause, then the questions started. I grinned, nodded to Bob, and wandered off. So many Bobs. So much intelligence in this room, if I did say so myself. So much control of resources spread over a sphere that might be approaching 100 light years in diameter, and we couldn't pin together a plan to protect a single planet. With a grimace of self-loathing, I popped back to my own VR.